I'm Kier.
And I'm Alyssa from In Defense Of, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests.
Be sure to check out all the other podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Man, what's up with all these porch pirates? Virtual reality comes to clothing, a plethora of movie talk, and much more. So grab your spoons, because soup is served.
Oh my God, Adam, that's sick. All right, everybody, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that doesn't practice Santeria.
Oh, man. Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but...
Oh, that's what you were talking about earlier. I thought you were talking about something else. I'm sorry.
What? you meant sick as in cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I didn't mean...
You saw the video of me doing those sweet skateboarding tricks.
Yeah, oh,
that's sick.
All right, everybody. Well, let's get this show going because, you know, any more of Adam and I'm probably going to throw up in my mouth. My name is...
Sound like all the dates I had in high school.
Whoa, I can't believe you admitted that, man.
Can't believe you had dates in high school. I didn't.
It was the actual fruit.
Oh, I got you. Like cookies and bars and...
Yep, mm-hmm. That makes more Fig sense. Newtons and things.
Yeah, you were nice good. And regular then, or correct?
Absolutely.
Sweet. Well, everybody, my name is Jason, and joining me today in the virtual studio is regular Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
If that one sticks. Yeah, you don't want to.
Sorry.
It's going great now. Oh, in the words of Dave, good, good.
Good, good, yeah.
Double good. We
yeah,
like
we're
double
doing
good.
All right.
True that. Double true. What do we got going on today, gents? What's happening?
Oh, man, we got so much to cover here today. I think we should just, you know, close up shop and go to bed because it's crazy, man. It's totally delivery.
Wait, we have so much to do, we should just quit and not try.
Well, I was trying to do a segue with delivery, and then you jumped all over it.
Oh, well, it sounded like an amazing delivery method.
Yeah, sorry.
Awesome delivery.
Mm-hmm. Has.
Been.
Has been.
Oh,
so Amazon has a new delivery method.
Yeah, this is kind of crazy.
This key in car service. Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, they do have, I believe they call it just key in or something else. Their service where they'll let you can sign up and they basically get an access code to enter your home and drop packages. I believe as well, but. In their efforts to help people, you know, avoid having, what do they call them? Porch pirates, I think, in this article on Mashable we're looking at. People stealing your Amazon packages off your porch. So Amazon announced this new Amazon key in car, which in certain markets are testing it right now, where basically you set it up. You have to have, I believe, OnStar, and it's on 2015 or newer General Motors or Volvo vehicles equipped with cloud-connected technologies. Man, that's a tongue twister. Man. But OnStar, Volvo, OnCall, respectively, because what happens is you set it up with Amazon, and as long as you tell them that within this certain time frame, your car will be within a certain distance of where they're going to deliver this, they can basically use the OnStar service to remotely pop your trunk, put your package in the trunk of your car, and shut it and lock it back up.
Oh, man. Okay, I got to interrupt this for a second because I just thought of the perfect prank.
Oh,
and
no.
I think Adam was thinking the same thing.
Was I?
Would it not be hilarious to either just do a buddy, put them back there all tied up, or a dummy, and then you have Amazon deliver this, and it pops your truck. Oh, a live person would be the best. We'd be like, help!
Straight out of The Hangover or something. Oh.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Give some Amazon people heart attacks.
You know, it wouldn't be hilarious.
Yeah?
If it was real.
Is this fake?
Really?
No. I mean, if you had a real person, if there was a real body in the truck.
I was like, don't tell me this is fake news. Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, that's dark, Adam. I'm just going to say regular Adam.
Hey, he's not that dark. He's probably he's a little darker than you and me, no, but he's not that dark.
Having a that's real
dark. What is it? Dark Adam.
Well, there is a little bit comic like
Black Adam, right?
Yeah. He's been spending too much time on the beach.
Right. No, they having a real body in your trunk was not where I expected you to go with that. Caught me off guard a little bit.
This is Chad from Hazard, Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Adam and his sidekick, not as Black Adam.
Just dark. Sort of extra tan. Yeah,
farmer tan Adam, special edition. Because that's really what I've got, too.
Yeah.
Now, I want to interject something here real fast because, you know, I like how they use the terminology here, porch pirates, for people who, you know, come up and steal packages off porches.
Right.
I have, in the last, I would say, 3 weeks, I have seen just as many videos of people attempting to steal stuff off porches.
Oh, really?
One of them was this car drives by, and now this is both of the last ones I've seen, the houses are pretty close to the road, and that makes it easy access then for these people to do this. But this one car drives by slowly, must have saw a package on there, and they must have turned around on the block, but then they come back and you come in the opposite direction, stop in front of the house. This fairly heavy set woman gets out of the car and walks up to the house, grabs some packages and starts walking with them, but as she's walking, she trips over some of the landscaping, whatever they had there, trips over, packages go flying, and she literally broke her ankle. The person had to come out of the car and help her.
Oh, man.
Now, listen to this, though. It's funny. Now, you're going to have to YouTube, search for this because it is hilarious. But he walks her back to the car, basically almost half carries her back to the car. Then he comes back for the packages. And then they run. And then the second one, I guess this guy has been having his packages stolen a lot. So he had... You know, and all these places have these cameras set up because I guess it happens often. They had the camera set up again at a different location, of course, different house. And this is even closer. And these three people walk by, and they literally walk by. But this woman, and it's women every time, women, stop stealing. she looks over her shoulder, and then she turns around, walks back through the yard, grabs something. But this guy is he I think he's watching the whole time. Anyway, there's a huge blast, like a shotgun blast. Her tumbling away from that door was hilarious.
Oh, man.
These porch pirates, you know. Let's get hashtag porch pirates.
That lady that broke her ankle, do you think that it was just because as a pirate she's not good on land?
She's peg leg.
She was after this. I just watched it while you were talking about it. Yeah, oh, man.
She's a landlord.
She totally takes a dive, and she's like,
Well, the cool thing is because with the Amazon key service, I know that people have been – there's some problems with it, issues, and apparently with this key in car service or whatever it was called, they've built in some safety features because I guess – like with Amazon Key in February, an Amazon customer found an Amazon delivery guy walking around his bedroom.
Whoa.
Yeah. In November, researchers found a flaw in Amazon Key cameras that made it vulnerable to being knocked out in attacks and things like that. So with this key in car service from Amazon, there's no cameras available. But I guess you can monitor the process step by step from your device, phone or tablet, whatever. And basically... they cannot move on to deliver their next package until they've actually, updated step by step as they go and scanned and then lock the vehicle back up. So once the vehicle is locked back up, you get the notice saying, yep, everything's there. It's been locked up and they've left. And so hopefully it's something that'll start working out. And I know, looking at a little bit of this elsewhere, they said that, some of the people were testing it and they moved it, their car. They said they'd be at this address and they moved their car around the block and parked, and they still found it with no problem because you have to give a description and, all that stuff. So I guess it's working pretty well, and it'll be interesting to see if it becomes common. So
here's my idea on this here, because this is crazy. One, I'm not going to let Amazon delivery people into my house. I'm not going to let them into my car. There's just no way to do it. if you are a person that receives a lot of packages and you need some type of service like this, here's what I say. A 700-pound marbled locked box sitting on your porch.
Yeah, that's inexpensive.
Or lead or something. The reason being is because then they have a digital code that they type into it that your account has, and they just pull it up on their iPad. Here it is. They type in your 6-digit account, open up the lid, put your packages in there, and close it. That does not allow anybody into your private property, be it your home or your car, and it doesn't allow any porch pirates to grab anything unless, you know, they're like Thor and they can carry around a 700-pound ironed box.
That sounds perfect.
I'm not joking there.
I'm laughing because I can picture a future where every house, it's a standard feature, especially in bigger cities. And they've all got these big lock boxes with a digital code arming system that, you know, when the Amazon guy gets there, like you said, they scan something, it sends a notice to you, you plug in your code, and it unlocks the box. So the Amazon,
ooh, that's even better than what I thought. Yeah, I Amazon thought they just
people,
dial it.
They don't. Amazon people never know your code. It unlocks. They put the package in, they shut it, and it's weatherproof and all of that stuff. And yeah, that's. I mean, I think the expense to getting something like that installed in homes everywhere would be pretty significant, but it also would be a pretty cool idea.
But like I had mentioned, just the average person that gets 2 or 3 packages a year, this is not feasible for them. But right. I mean, if you're allowing people into your home or into your car, you're doing this very regular. So an investment like this would actually be, it would give you that peace of mind that nobody's walking around your house, etc. Because Amazon people, why would anybody even trust an Amazon delivery person?
But they're from Amazon. You know what I would prefer if I was doing this a lot?
Yeah.
If there was a nice secure location in close by, as in like a business that would handle this stuff. I don't know, like a post office.
Yeah.
Or like a UPS store or something I could have it delivered to. And then, I'll just pick it up after work. So I get it. Yeah. I don't have to let anybody into my personal property.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. There goes my 700-pound box idea.
Man.
Always killing those box dreams.
Yeah, I don't understand why every time I design something, you got to go and redesign it even better.
That's not what just happened. I think you came up with a great innovative solution to a problem that we never had. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
That's awesome.
Should we key him in, Dave, or what?
What?
I was segueing to the next thing, and I was hoping you guys would jump on it. But,
key them in.
Oh, man.
Okay. Spotify redesigns their mobile app.
I'm lost on the key them in.
Where was the keying part?
No, I said I designed a perfect solution, and you had to go and redesign it.
Oh. Well,
huh.
I didn't Spotify what you were doing there.
Previously, we've learned not to follow your rambling sometimes.
Well, you know what? If you weren't on your mobile all the time, maybe you might appreciate what I'm saying.
Well, we would, but some of your ramblings are pretty bloated. Okay, so we've got the title in there. So the title of this article, Spotify revamps its previously bloated mobile apps. I'll be honest, I don't want to say too much on this. It seems like it's geared towards people who are using the non-premium version.
That's me, buddy.
And have you loaded Spotify and noticed much difference?
I haven't. I mean, and I've been using it almost every day, so I haven't noticed any difference.
I know that
I don't think commercials play any more than they used to every half hour. Sure. That's about it.
Yeah, and I think the biggest things are is a lot of stuff. They were changing some of the look, I guess. It got an overhaul. But the biggest things they were rolling out were apparently kind of behind the scenes with some new, data saver modes, reducing data usage by 75%. A lot of different things like that. But they're really looking at making this Spotify interface just that much more fluid and intuitive. And I do have it open right now on my phone. And looking at it, it is a little bit different. I mean, visually, that's laid out just a little bit different. They've kind of consolidated, and the plan is to consolidate some of the buttons once you get the update. But I don't notice really, and I should look because I don't know that anything is really rolled out on this yet or if this is still coming, but to me, I'm not seeing anything major. But like I say, this is geared towards the non-premium users, and I am a subscriber of Spotify, so I might not see that, but
well, one
interesting.
Of the, I was going to say one of the coolest features I did find is that, you know, when you first launch Spotify, if you don't go and search for any type of genre, et cetera, right, and you just hit the play button, it plays the latest episode of the Digital Soup podcast. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that's a good default setting, I think.
Yeah, default to Digital Soup. That's always good. I'm looking to see when the release date on this, because the one thing I was looking at is they were going to clean up the buttons across the bottom, right? On Spotify previous to this update, there's five buttons. You get the home, browse, search, radio, and your library. They're consolidating those down into just four to take up a little space, make it a little cleaner. But I still got the five buttons, so I don't have anything updated here. But I'm not seeing in this article from Mashable when this goes live. It looks like it already did, but I don't see any difference on mine. So listeners, if you are Spotify users and have noticed the update, let us know what you think of it, because like I said, this is just a quick story. We talk about Spotify a lot and wanted to just give a little update that they are revamping their mobile app here. So if you've seen the change, we'd love to hear how you're liking it. So
Spotify. Yeah, I don't know when that's going to come out. Maybe by May 30th?
Is that when it says?
Do you think? I don't know. Or I bet you, what if it doesn't even ship till 2019?
Yeah, that's a very well possibility, you know, but I might go if they don't do it before then. Winnie and the Dog indie.
I'm sorry. These segues are so bad. Now there's just convoluted kind of...
Spell it.
Psychedelic.
Spell convoluted.
C-O-N-V-O-L-U-T-E-D.
All right, keep going.
So the Atari VCS, and this they used to call it the Atari box. I got an email, Jason, I'm guessing you did too.
Yep, I sure did.
Pre-orders are going to start on May 30th, but it's not going to ship to 2019. So they've got the ability to order as of May 30th, according to the email, in this Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. And it looks like they have a couple of different versions of the game system. One's a time-limited collector's edition featuring a faux wood front paneling.
That's the one I want.
And then there's the $200 Onyx edition, which plays Slam. Okay, raise your hand if you got that reference.
I did. Raised. You can't see it, though.
Okay. Oddly, it doesn't appear that either of these options will include a controller. As the announcement reads, other packages will include classic joystick and modern controller. So,
yeah, this is getting from bad to worse, in my opinion. I don't mean to come down on Atari box here, but first off, you're offering this as a time-limited collector's edition just to get the classic look that you're advertising everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's kind of
strike
dumb.
Number one. And the fact it doesn't come with a controller, what are you supposed to do with it?
Well, the article does say it doesn't appear. I would think that would have to be incorrect. I mean, it would have to include a controller. I mean, they're including 100 games on it, so why wouldn't they also have a controller?
Here, don't do anything with this.
Yeah, look at it. It's great. Let them play videos. But yeah, they are saying, you know, it's going to come with what? What did you say? Built in 100 classic
games? Yeah, the Atari Vault. It's preloaded with 100 plus game collection of classic Atari games. You know, like 100 the Asteroids. 100 games? 100 that, plus, it says.
That could take up to 64K of memory space.
That's a lot of K.
Because Yar's Revenge, I'm sure there's a lot of code in there.
Actually, don't worry, you can play it in 4K
yes.
HDR with 60 FPS.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, the stats are looking okay, but we'll see. I'm not...
The thing that is scary, though, and I know we might have not done this on air, but I know we talk about a lot of stuff like this, you know, off air, and it might have been brought up there is, you know what? Yes, they've mentioned now some of the classic games that you can play. You know, they've mentioned like four or five of the 100 plus. But where's the talk about some original new titles that they say are going to be coming?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
Atari.
Who's
going to
pre-order a 2019 console May 30th, not knowing what kind of games you're going to have?
And this won't even begin shipping until what they are expecting, which not even official, they're expecting it to begin in the spring of 2019.
Yeah, it's just...
A full year away.
Yep.
Pre-order right, now.
What if it's so totally awesome, though?
See, that's the thing. If
we just don't know.
Yeah, if Atari wants to send me some kind of, you know...
We here at the Digital Soup Podcast, we will test and review this system if we each get one.
If it is fantastic, I'll sing the praises of it everywhere.
No controller, though.
But right now, using like the first mind meld app or something.
It's like working at McDonald's. If somebody was a jerk, don't put a fork in with their salad in the drive-thru.
Have fun eating that with your hands.
Yeah,
and then you take a video of you just scooping it out and smearing it all over your face.
Oh, jeez.
Really?
That'll teach that guy. Don't give me a fork, whatever.
Man.
I'll double down. I don't need forks. I don't even need hands.
Now, I wish they would actually list the full specs of this bad boy because, again, they're so vague in it.
Yeah.
They just announced on Monday, which is whoop today. We're recording a day late this week. But whoop today they announced that they have partnered with AMD for the console's processor. Mm-hmm. It'll support 4K resolutions like David said, HDR 60 frames per second.
Like David said?
David did say it, didn't
David.
He?
But I think he usually meant David. As Dave had said.
Now, it will offer both internal and external storage, built-in Wi-Fi, USB 3, and Bluetooth 5. That's all well and good. It's going to have a power cord. It's
going to have though.
Buttons on it.
You can buy the controllers for $49.99.
We want to know what processor is in here. We want to know what video processor is in here, what GPU is in here.
We want to know
that stuff.
I want to know.
And I want to see some freaking games.
Well, yeah. And can you get a third-party controller from GameStop for this thing? Since it doesn't come with any. That's important.
Well, you're going to probably have to since they're not included.
I don't want to buy this special edition for $500 just to get a controller.
So the Atari _VCS is the Twitter handle for this, and they just posted a video 7 hours ago, one of their engineers using the classic joystick with Centipede 2600.
Mm.
So they're actually playing the game.
Human?
It was a human being playing the game.
Not a robot?
No robots. Well, actually, you know what? It could be a robot hands.
Well, this is not a human centipede. We're okay.
Now, here's the thing that it upsets me because they're so vague in the system here. I mean, they're basically just, it's the epitome of vaporware.
Yeah.
Let's get people excited, but we're not going to give them any real morsels to chew on.
Get them excited about the vapors.
I got me the vapors.
I'm looking at the console. I'm looking at the classic controller, and I'm looking at the modern controller. And, man, this intrigues me. I like the looks of it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
But if you're not going to be able to play anything good, it just...
Pitfall 2 wasn't good. Okay. Okay, guys.
I wonder if they're going to come out with Pitfall 2019.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Is that Pitfall Harry? Look out for the alligator.
Wow.
I remember the one that was on the NES, that Pitfall. That was actually pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, but, you know.
I like it a lot.
We're not talking about the NES. We're talking about the VCS.
Well, I mean, I tell you what. At least it doesn't, like, pay everything with a gold coin at a special hotel just for assassins. What was that?
Mm-hmm.
Dave's John Wick. Like,
I've been looking forward to this, even though this story isn't really any major news. We kind of expected this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna fight his way out, but I think it's cool that they're not gonna do any real like fast forward a year in time or 6 months later. This the third chapter three of John Wick is basically gonna start immediately as the other one leaves off. Which is awesome.
And before we delve any deeper into this, I do want to point out that yours truly, Jason, from the Digital Soup Podcast, did predict that this is how this episode was going to go. Adam and Dave both watched the same movie I did. At the very end, we know there was contracts out. But then Dave, for some reason, said the next one was going to be a rom-com. And then Adam thought the next one was going to be animated. And I'm like, no, dude, he's going to be fine for his life. Everybody's coming after him. He's going to have to kill everybody.
Huh. I said it was going to be animated?
Yes, you did. You said it was going to be an animated thriller.
I don't remember saying that.
I'm
check the tape, tail of the tape.
My BS radar is going off. Spidey senses are tingling.
No, but I did say, man, this next one's going to be awesome if you go back and listen, because that sounds like that's what this one's going to be. And,
awesome.
They've confirmed it. Huh?
It's been confirmed that it's going to be awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it has been confirmed that it will be awesome. Yep.
Does it have Keanu Reeves with a gun?
He's like, dude.
Yes, but here's awesome. I'm gonna a little spoiler here though. Keanu Reeves only makes it through 1/3 of the movie before he's killed.
And then his dog takes over.
Yep. No, not his dog. His dog is dead.
No, he got
Short
a new
Round
one.
Shows up and Dave's gonna be very happy about that.
Nice.
That sounds reasonable.
No, I think it's exciting. When are they saying this is looking to hit though?
Do we have 17th, 2019?
Okay,
2019. So whoa, 2019 is the year of the VCS and the John Wicks.
Oh, maybe that's why there's no controller, because John Wick shot them all.
Oh, maybe he's using them as a weapon.
Yeah.
He's like swinging it by the cord around. There's no cord. Wireless, never mind.
He kills everybody with an extra strong Bluetooth
maybe
signal.
With
Bluetooth signal.
You're going to connect to this device.
Maybe the classic joystick version, he sharpens it to a point and he makes it a bomb on the base, and then he just throws them and they stick into cars and walls and just blow stuff up.
Nice.
I like it.
Could be
noise.
Could be fake. I don't know.
Fake news. But yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of information there, as you guys were saying, but it does. Sounds awesome.
Well, when does the TV series come out? The Continental.
You know that I don't know. I
wonder
know
if they'll tie in together at all.
Yeah.
Do you think the Continental has really good breakfast? Or do you think it's just donuts? It's a Continental breakfast. Super high class place. And all you look over, that's like a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Some dried up muffin from 3 days ago.
There's a guy in his socks down there.
The powdered eggs are being mixed and they haven't been mixed all the way yet, so there's still little
wax cups filled with the
waffle
batter.
You hope.
You hope.
Some apples. Sicko. Cereal.
Well, I remember
John
last
Wick's
year.
There. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, I remember last year when we went to Disney, and then we went down for the Continental breakfast, I started filling my jacket up with waffles and bananas and oranges.
Yeah, just the
and
batter,
boxes of cereal.
Splashing it in his pockets.
I'll cook this later. I'll cook this with my body heat on the way to the rides.
Oh, they forced him out of there.
Oh, gross. Okay, so we'll look forward to more details as we get closer to 2019 on John Wick. He killed John Wick's dog and stole his car.
Well, you saw that meme going around.
This time they steal his breakfast.
His Continental breakfast.
He got kicked out, so he's hungry. He's hangry this time.
Yeah,
you saw the
that.
Meme with Infinity War, and it's, you know, Thanos. And this isn't a spoiler. This was out long before the movie came
Josh
out
Brolin?
Here. Yeah, but no, Thanos is there, and it's he's saying, they're telling him, all you have to do to get this last Infinity Stone, it's inside that dog. And he's like, that's it. I just got to kill the dog. And he pulls it out, rips the dog apart. Ah, that was easy. I have it. And they're like, it was his dog.
It was John Wick's dog.
Yeah, and there comes John Wick. Where's my dog? Oh, crap.
Dude, that would be the best crossover ever.
Yeah, I don't think John Wick stands a chance. No offense.
No, dude. We've
don't
seen
say
the
anything.
First two movies.
I'm not.
We don't know a lot about Thanos except this movie.
I know.
I don't know. I still would give John Wick. John Wick would have an edge somewhere.
I hope so. I'm not saying anything else because you guys are being slow.
That sounds good.
No one has
seen
it.
Adam, you haven't
seen
it yet? I thought you saw it.
No, and I haven't seen Black Panther yet either. So don't.
Oh, man.
Neither have I. You know what else I haven't seen? Wonder Woman. You know what else I haven't seen? The Galaxy 2. What else haven't I seen? I've seen my feet, dude.
He puts them up on the couch every night.
Yes, okay, everybody. I outweigh Jason. It's fine.
No, but I'm a size 6, so I didn't even know what you're talking about.
Your feet are size 6?
Yeah.
Little midget.
He's got a little tiny. How do you keep balance?
It's like one big toe. That's all. There's not even a heel or anything. It's just like a toe.
It's a nub.
You know what they say about guys with small feet?
Yeah, small shoes.
Yeah, right.
They can't steal packages off porches very well.
Well, they could if they hit them under their jacket, probably.
No, you wear regular size shoes, hide the packages in between where your feet would be.
Where my feet would be.
Instead of stuffing the toes with newspaper, it's
Amazon
packages.
It's new Amazon Keyfoot.
Keyfoot.
Oh my god.
Now you're just getting silly. Why can't I ever have a serious podcast with you two knuckleheads?
Well,
oh man,
we're not forcing it.
We probably need to force this next story.
This is what happens when you have three longtime friends.
Yep.
And this is how we want listeners to feel too. Just come hang out with us.
See, we were talking about dis foot. Now we're going to talk about dis knee.
What's going on?
Trying to segue into the Disney Force.
I know, oh my God, trying for like 5 minutes.
So design.
And we're gonna have to stall it for a second here because I remembered a joke from my youth.
Oh no!
You have three knees: left knee, right knee, and acne.
Oh, I always heard a different version of that joke.
It was
left knee, right knee, and weenie. That was the playground joke I always heard.
Yeah, I've heard you did hear a lot about weenies in the playground, didn't you?
Off limits, not going there. No.
You so tell the new, Cosby.
The new Disney Force jacket.
Yeah.
Designed for use with VR headsets, this new jacket will let you feel everything from a punch to a snake slithering across your body.
Okay, I would not want either of those.
Huh, how do I have an actual snake run over me? But it's a pneumatically actuated jacket. So Disney Research, MIT Media Lab, and Carnegie Mellon University unveiled this new conceptual haptic force jacket that simulates physical experiences to anybody wearing it. And it's lined with airbags controlled by a computer that inflates and deflates the bags.
Yeah.
And you know, the cool thing about it, if you take a look at the images here, you will not look like a nerd wearing it either.
Nope, not at all.
It's like you're going to church jacket.
Just keep in mind, most of the images, what it reminds me of is like not the slimline life jackets you see for fishermen and boats, kind of. Because what you're seeing, remember, they've got it all opened up so you can see the airbags. But when you look at the torso part, it looks like a life jacket, life preserver with the straps across the front. I mean, I wouldn't want to wear it around town, but
no.
But it's kind of a cool concept because I know they're testing it with an initial set of effects like racing heartbeat, light or heavy rain, a snowball thrown and hits you in the chest, or someone tapping your shoulder, slime on your back, that kind of stuff. Now, think about, I don't do any VR gaming, but think about if they got this to the point where not only for VR gaming, but you could go into, you know, you buy this jacket and basically you go into your movie theater, you plug into a port right there, and when you're seeing...
Like a Pee Wee Herman movie theater?
No. Not that kind. You plug into like a...
I'm not even going to say it. It's a computer, too easy to make a joke.
A computer interface there that's tied to your chair. And so then when you've got characters that are... You know, riding motorcycles or jumping or, you know, standing in a rainstorm, or you're feeling all this.
Or gently caressing you.
Yeah. Well, I guess
what is this gonna get
Dave would finally get Jenna Jameson to caress him.
No. Yeah. Well, by the looks of this, it's like, here's two airbags by your forearms and here's two airbags by your biceps.
Yeah.
You know, they look really big, though. Wouldn't you want like more resolution? Wouldn't you want a lot of smaller little airbags?
Well, and I
this
think
is just like a prototype.
Yeah, this is the prototype, but they are saying
nettles?
Needles.
Yeah, I think they are saying it's going to be, you know, they're refining it right now. You know, they are saying that it is very bulky and confining, but because the effects are wearable, one of the effects they equate it to is like growing muscles, like turning into the Hulk, for example. Yeah. Where the way this thing stimulates, it's like all of a sudden you feel like you've got these huge Hulk muscles. So, in early stages of the game, or not the game, but of the technology, I think it's kind of a cool idea if you're into VR stuff.
You know where this would be very cool? If it was a completely wireless system, which it looks like you have to actually jack into the Matrix with it, but if it was completely wireless, laser tag, you could actually feel the shots in different parts of your body. That would be cool.
Well, think about games like Resident Evil or horror movies and things like that, and all of a sudden,
I hope
you
this
know,
isn't Chris's blood.
Yeah, you've got someone, it's all a tense moment or something, and all of a sudden someone taps you on the shoulder. Or
the jump scare.
That kind of
the whole,
stuff.
The whole thing squeezes you.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going at with like the movie theater side of it too, where you're watching something and all of a sudden the thing just boom goes off, you know, when you got these jump scares or these big moments. And it's an interesting concept. We'll see how much. I don't use the VR stuff, and I think even that is kind of hit or miss on if it's going to stay up.
I'd rather
thing.
Have a holodeck, you know.
Yeah.
Damn.
Here's something I was thinking about with this, just looking at the picture. Of course, right now, if you look at it, it's prototype. It's all wired up and all this stuff.
Yeah.
If you could ever have this kind of wireless and you made it out of, let's say, like Kevlar and the same material that your airbags use, what if you had almost like an impact resistant, like basically a trauma suit?
Yeah.
So, you know, you fall a great distance or something, it inflates.
Yeah.
Boing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say built-in defibrillator.
Well,
that would be cool, too.
Which movie was it with Stallone with the shells? The Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Yeah. So is that the same one where he can't figure out, you know, how people
shells.
Hook up? No, not the shells.
Yep.
They're like, let's get intimate, and they put on these headsets and, you know, whatever.
Yep.
You wonder if this is just a step towards, you know, something like that, where 100 years from now or 50 years from now, this is what people will do, is they'll get into these body suits that is basically the Disney Force jacket, and no longer will anyone touch each other. It'll just be all simulated through, you know, some crazy airbag system.
Well, that's like, like that one movie,
I hope not, too.
Surrogates.
What was that one?
That was with... John McClane. Yippee-ki-yay.
Bruce Willis,
yeah. Surrogates is where everybody in the world, you basically didn't interact with anybody outside of your home. When you left your home, you were controlling an autonomous, well, not autonomous because you were controlling it, but it was like a... it wasn't virtual reality, it was real world, but it was not a clone, but a surrogate that you would get into, and it would be you in that world. Hmm. Did you not see the movie Surrogates?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
No.
Oh, yeah, it was from a few years back. It might be almost a decade now. Maybe that's going to have to be a super review. But, yeah. It was kind of cool. It had that same type of premise, you know, like he was a cop. Of course, he's always a cop, it seems like. But, you know, your surrogate gets shot, you're still fine at home. You're sitting back with the... you know, the VR stuff on your head. You're not the one that's actually getting it. But the whole movie was sort of about how he didn't want to have to deal with being the surrogate anymore, so he was trying to go out in the world as himself.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You have to check the movie
out. I'll have to check it out. Sounds interesting. You know, speaking of VR, though, I've got another story. This is a longtime listener of the show. We'll call him the mailman.
Because he delivers.
That's right. Yeah, and that's he's a longtime friend of
not,
the show.
He's not a black basketball player.
No, he's not. That's terrible. But terrible. Anyways, no, a longtime listener and longtime friend of mine in real life, Jason. You also know this individual, Adam.
I used to smack him around, call him Clarence.
Oh yeah. I'm not even getting into it.
What?
Basically, though, he sent me this link because, you know, as listeners, you may or may not know, I'm big into the outdoors. I've talked about it before as far as the photography stuff, and I hunt and all of this other stuff. And there's a new product out here, fairly new. It's called iTarget Pro. And I was going to throw this actually as our weekly garnish, but I thought it's actually going to fit in well because of the VR discussion, because what it is, you have your actual handgun. And it's got this special cartridge, you know, they call it a bullet, but it's a special laser bullet that goes in your gun, just one of them. And the way it works, it's set so that nothing actually fires out of the gun. You set your phone in a cradle at this target, and as you shoot your gun, you know, target practicing, sighting in, whatever you're wanting to do, it's precise, laser accurate, and the phone reads exactly, you see on the display of your phone, exactly where you're hitting the target with each and every shot. So it's a way where you can get, if you like shooting, but don't want to have the danger of live firearms, essentially, you can, you know, it's like a real-life version of the old Nintendo light gun.
All right, can I break this down for a second real fast?
Yeah.
Break it down.
So you're telling me you take a legitimate, real handgun.
Yep.
you put this laser bullet into it.
Yep.
And then you're playing a shoot 'em up on your 4-inch iPhone.
It's not a shoot 'em up. You've got a standard target, like a regular bullseye.
It's a paper target. Your phone is using its camera to look at and analyze where the lasers are hitting.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant you were shooting targets on your iPhone.
No.
200 yards, I'm going to shoot the target on my iPhone.
Well, I was just picturing you holding your iPhone in your left hand, and in your right hand, 3 inches away from your iPhone, you're shooting.
And you're yelling, bang, bang, pew, pew.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm not Laura Dern, dude.
For a long time, the people have used, you know, kind of laser. They call it a bore sight.
Yep, bore sight.
And it's basically to help sight your rifle in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept of having a laser kind of cartridge for a firearm isn't new. But I like the idea that they're using, you know, here's a completely safe version. As long as you, folks, if you're into firearms, safety first, triple check everything. Make sure that still nothing behind your paper target. Gun safety. But this is kind of a really cool thing. So you're not live firing and you still get to practice and use technology to do it. So,
well, and they also, they build in. So remember as a kid, as kids, you used to have the cap guns.
Yep.
You know, and
still do. What do you mean?
This has it built in though. So as you're firing, there is some sort of like they relate it to a cap gun, like a snap cap. And there's no actual damage to your weapon, but you do get some noise and slight recoil as well, nothing major like you would, you know, shooting live ammunition, but it's to help people to get over the flinching. You know, when you're learning to shoot, that's a big problem a lot of people have, is right before they squeeze that trigger, they want to flinch because they're anticipating that loud sound or the mm-hmm. jump of the gun. And this helps simulate that as well, in some part.
What better way to get somebody used to a loud gun than making the sound from this laser bullet even louder? Here's my theory.
Uh-oh.
You have built-in Bluetooth from the bullet to your stereo system, your 7.1 stereo system. You crank that sucker to 11, and then you start pulling that trigger, and it makes, and it's like cannon sound coming out of that bad boy. So then when you just fire a regular bullet, you're like, I didn't even hear that. But then you're probably kicked out of your apartment because they're like, what the hell's going on?
The police are there.
I'll just suggest headphones.
Yeah, right. Just a headphone.
Adam, we're taking my ideas and making them better.
Yeah, why are you keeping... Why? This is Ray Romano. Why are you...
I don't even shoot guns.
Yeah, and I know.
That's not like Kermit.
It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Busting the cap.
I can't. I'm picturing
in
Kermit.
Your ass.
Oh, no. No.
Break yourself.
Oh, man.
Interesting.
Cool. I just thought this was kind of a cool thing. I know a lot of listeners, geeky fans and stuff, maybe aren't into shooting. I know.
Yep. Not for everybody.
But. Yeah, not for everybody. But I do think that this is something where if you're into shooting, whether it be hunting or just competitive shooting or whatever.
Or human hunting.
No, we don't condone that. But anything like that where you want
to... Dave has to do a disclaimer. We don't condone human hunting.
Yeah, no human hunting.
I watched Surviving the Game with Ice-T, I do not condone what happened.
It always ends poorly. No, but... And they've got some apps where just a standard...
No, but...
Shooting, they've got...
It always ends poorly, no, but... It's like... No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I really like to do it.
No, I don't want to.
What?
No, I don't want to hunt people. I want to tell people to check out this app. I want to thank our listener, the mailman, John, for bringing this to my attention because it's very, very cool. He brought it, actually told me about it on the phone. We were talking before we recorded last week's episode, and I totally spaced it out. So made sure to add it in for this week because it is, as an outdoors enthusiast, a fan of shooting and hunting and everything else, it's a great way to be able to get some practice. And that's really one of the best things you can do for safety. Make sure you practice things safely and make sure you're practicing safety the whole time. So,
well, that's really what I was
cool
get
blending
at too.
The, of tech.
The standard Digital Soup disclaimer, if you're going to, go check this out, make sure that you've got some actual good instruction on gun safety training before you do anything like this. So.
And always make sure you're wearing a Jimmy hat.
All right. I don't even know where to go from here.
What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
Shibakumba. Ooga.
Oh, yeah. It's time for a geek off, brother. Oh, yeah, this is Randy Moss.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Randy Moss, huh?
This is Randy Moss.
He's flipping on the moon. No.
What?
Don't you remember when Randy Moss pretended to moon the fans in Green Bay and then Joe Buck?
Oh, I thought you were saying
Warren
Moon hit him with a 50-yard pass.
No, Joe Buck was all offended. This is, you know, whatever he said, ridiculous.
This isn't the XFL.
Yeah, he's showing the moon. Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait for the AAF and the XFL, man. I need some more football.
And the NBC and the ABC and the CBS.
Something like that. Draft just happened. But anyways.
What's our geek off today?
Geek off. I'm going to throw one at you.
AAF
which...
or XFL? You guys choose.
How did you know? No, I'm gonna throw one of the long-standing arguments that there's probably no right answer to at you guys. Because I want to know, we've seen a lot of them now, who is, in your opinions, the best Batman that we have seen?
Are you giving us two we have to choose from?
No,
or
I'm
we
giving
just
you everything from Adam West to Keaton to...
You know the one, because I told you who my favorite Batman was just a few episodes back, Christian Bale.
Yeah? Why?
Because I love the Dark Knight series. I thought... Yeah, you know, I love that set of movies the best, and you know, so I have to go with him.
Yeah,
and I love the way he yells at, you know, the grips and, you know, the other people that are working behind the scenes.
That rant was epic.
That was awesome rant, but yeah.
You know what I didn't like about the last movie in that series? That he seemed to be when he was like on his cane. And he was like, oh, I haven't been Batman for a long time. Yeah, what?
That movie was very weird.
I wasn't a fan.
He basically quit. You know, here's the weird
thing.
His
back is broken. Yeah. He heals himself.
No cartilage in his knees. All this stuff.
Catwoman takes him down before come on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That version of Batman, where you see him old and decrepit, is the same version of Batman that Ben Affleck is playing right now.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Ben Affleck's. I gotta give it to Ben Affleck. My opinion.
Yeah.
Those are the absolute worst Batman movies ever created.
Well, I don't
care
how good the movie is. We're talking about who I like as playing Batman, and I actually really like Ben Affleck's version of it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I love the Ben Affleck versions. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a popular choice among our listeners. Will probably give us a lot of hate mail about this, but the reason I love it is that A, I thought he did a fantastic job, but B, it's not the same bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Batman we see in every other movie where this is his first
Bale was not bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
I don't mean like peppy and happy. I'm talking about the story where it's like, here's his origin, here's his first real big test, you know? I mean, granted, they do fast forward.
Adam West
bit.
Was the best Batman. I'm going with him.
He is epic, but there's one that I like to throw in as well, because as much as I love Ben Affleck's Batman,
George Clooney.
It's the guy that does the voice for all of but most of Batman the animated series and a lot of those animated Batman specials and cartoons we've seen, is whose name is Kevin Conroy. And for me and for a lot of people, he is, when they think of Batman's voice, that's the voice they hear, because he knocks it out of the park. He was in the same series where Mark Hamill is playing the Joker.
He's awesome.
The two of them together as Batman and Joker are just phenomenal. And he might be, even though you don't see him, you hear him. But he is, for many people, the Batman.
Well, then I'll go second place, Will Arnett playing Lego Batman.
Ah, another good choice.
Can I go one step further? And I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I have the perfect person to play the next series of Batman.
Okay. Who do you have?
Kevin Hart, man. He would be the best Batman. Oh, we would call him Black Man. But he would be the best.
Oh my god.
What are you? I'm Black Man. Actually, he wouldn't say it like that. I'm Black Man.
Oh man. I don't know where to go
what?
With that.
Okay, and this all comes from an Uproar article saying Kevin Hart shows you what would happen if Batman were a black man?
Okay, so
I'm basing it all on that
just, he wouldn't just call himself "I'm a black man."
Yeah, okay,
he'd be like,
he
"I'm
played
Batman."
On Saturday Night Live, and you have to watch this. But he played a character called Captain Shadow.
So this is not your idea, then?
No, it isn't. Okay. But it is hilarious, and because of the Captain Shadow thing on SNL, I thought, man, he'd be the best black man, the best Batman ever.
I don't like where this is going. Oh, we're gonna get some.
This
some
is
mail.
An interesting question, though. Who would you, if they had to, if they're gonna recast, and we're not gonna see Ben Affleck anymore? Who would you pick right now out of Hollywood that would be the next Batman that you think would be phenomenal?
Well, this is Jason from the Digital Suit Podcast.
Don't say Michael Cera.
No, I'm not. Oh, but I was kind of going in that route. I think we need to add some youth to it. We need to see Batman younger. Now, not as young as the Gotham series.
Baby Batman.
But we've all, Batman 30-something, babies. Every Batman has been... At a minimum, like 35 and up.
Well, that's where his stories are.
His parents freaking died when he was 9 or 6 or something. But that's what I'm saying is, don't go as far back as Gotham. But let's get it before all the adult male there. I want to see Batman as a, you know, as a 20-year-old dude. Man, he's gone through puberty. Man, he's looking at the chicks.
Well, I hope by 20 he's gone through puberty.
Yeah. Well, you know, you didn't hit it till 22.
So what you're basically saying is you'd like to see a teenage Batman, maybe in a futuristic Gotham City,
not under
the tutelage of an elderly Bruce Wayne, or also known as Batman Beyond, the animated series that's been out forever?
Well, no, I was thinking legitimately Bruce Wayne, but like 20.
Right. But they did that in the animated side, only they made Bruce Wayne the old guy mentoring him. But
exactly. It's totally different.
Well, yes and no. I don't know. I don't know if I'm on board with that. I'm gonna disagree. I'm not gonna fully disagree.
How many times can we recycle the middle aged Batman?
If they did recycle it, I'd go Keanu Reeves all the way.
Yeah.
He's in everything, though, man. I don't know if I could see him as Batman. Right?
I couldn't either, really.
He's so young. Finally, he's no longer Bill S. Preston Esquire or Ted Theodore.
Well,
he will be soon.
I
understand that. But, you know, for the longest time, that's who he was. And now, after the John Wick movies, I see him as, in the Matrix movies, I see him as that guy. I don't know if I want to see him
Tom
as
Selleck?
Batman now. Oh, I thought you were going to say Tom Arnold, and I was
that mustache
totally
under
with
the
you.
Yeah, the mustache is sticking out.
So
hey
here,
there.
Let me throw this list at you here quick, because Screen Rant has a list.
He's got a list.
I just pulled it up while you were talking. 15 actors who could replace Ben Affleck as Batman. Carl Urban, Matt Bomer.
Okay, I don't know either of those. You got to tell me what they've been in.
Carl Urban, he played Bones in the recent Star Trek films.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Dredd, yeah.
Are you serious? Too old. No.
Matt Bomer was in USA's White Collar show. He's been in a bunch of TV series stuff, I guess. Wes Bentley, who was... I recognize him from someone, or from some movie. I just can't think of what he's been in. He was in American Beauty, My Big Break documentary... And
all right, next
Richard Armitage.
He's the guy that
these
played
people I don't know.
He played the lead dwarf in The Hobbit.
Yeah, he could be.
I don't
there
remember
yeah
his name.
Could be Jason Clarke. He's an Australian actor, been a while.
Short Round,
commanding performance in the icy real life thriller Everest as Malcolm.
I want to see Christopher Walken as Batman.
Well, he tried.
We're going old.
You're committing
movie
a crime.
Well, remember he played the villain in the previous Batman, remember, with the Penguin.
I'm the hero this city needs.
Hey, hold on, Adam, you finish this. What are you? I'm Batman as Christopher Walken.
I was trying to formulate it. Hold on now. I'm Batman.
How hard was that?
I was trying to figure out which... Shut up.
You just
that's how hard it was.
Just the other day, you ordered from McDonald's as Christopher Walken, and you couldn't say I'm Batman.
Did I do that?
I don't know.
Oh, I just Steve Urkel'd it up.
Did I do that? Steve Urkel.
Yeah, Steve Urkel could be the next Batman.
Steve Urkel. Anson Mount is another name on this list. He's on star of Hell on Wheels. On. Michael C. Hall from he played Dexter.
Chris Pine would be a decent Batman.
Kyle Chandler, the coach on Friday Night Lights. Chris Pine, I don't know. He's too pretty boy. Colin Farrell, same thing. I don't know if I like that one. Eric Bana, nope. He stunk as Bruce Banner, kind of. So, Keanu Reeves makes number five. Michael Fassbender, John Hamm. I think John Hamm could pull it off. He's got the jawline, but he's an older Batman again. Luke Evans from Fast and Furious 6. And in honorable mention, Christian Bale makes the list. And at number one, Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know if I see Jake Gyllenhaal as Batman either. So I don't know. We can skip over the rest of that. But
I don't know. But to recap because we really went off on a tirade there. Peter the Gray.
Peter Dinklage.
I said that Christian Bale. What did you say, Adam? You said the new guy, right?
Affleck, Bale,
yeah,
and I'm tied with Bale or with Affleck. Although Christian Bale is probably a third for me, but Kevin Conroy from the animated series is my Batman.
All right. Well, that was the Geek Off. Adam, you need to produce that so we can end that segment.
What? You can just play the sound clip again.
No, I want that was the Geek Off.
The geeks are off.
Guys, did you see the new trailer for Venom?
Oh, yeah.
I did. Because it was amazing.
If you remember when the first trailer came out and I was like, I don't even know what this is about. Not interested.
Yeah.
And then this one came out and Venom looks scary as ever.
Yeah.
That was,
I think
it was super awesome.
I mean,
like the character himself, and when he turns into Venom, it's like, oh.
I'm still very interested.
Yeah, that, I was supposed to say, I'm interested in what Dave has to say because that is what he told me. Because I was very exuberant when I seen this and I was talking to him. I'm like, oh my God, that looks so awesome. And Dave's like,
Yeah, it could be cool, but I just don't know if I like it. The whole thing. Venom is one of my favorite characters from the Spider-Man universe. And his suit looks pretty cool. I mean, they did it in a lot of ways very true to some of the iterations.
But it's
comics.
Not even really a suit. It has nothing to do with Spidey's suit. It is just a total symbiote.
Well,
right?
It is. But here's the thing, and this is why I'm really torn on this and why I don't know how I feel about this movie, period, because the reason that suit resembles Spider-Man is because it was Spider-Man's black suit given to him during the Secret Wars. And then he finds out later it's actually an alien symbiote. He gets it off him. The suit hates Spider-Man just as much as Venom. And that is how, or just as much as Eddie Brock, I should say. And that is how Venom is formed. And this storyline being just a science lab experiment that they're testing on people, I'm going to wait and see how it goes because I think they made him look pretty cool, and I definitely think I am not letting my kids watch this, even though my youngest loves Venom in the cartoons.
Oh, no, this
will
probably be R, just like Deadpool.
Superman 1978.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I mean, I think it looks cool, potentially, but I'm really kind of reserved on how I'm going to feel about this because, to me, having Venom with no Spider-Man element in that story just doesn't feel right to me because they're so tied together literally, and that is what drives Venom's hatred for Spider-Man, why he looks like Spider-Man, a black version with that creepy teeth and all the stuff you see in the trailer looks good as far as the look of it and the way it is, but I don't know, I'm having a hard time buying Venom without Spider-Man involved.
Well, don't buy it, just to watch it.
Well, true. Fair enough.
I will say, he's like disturbing looking.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I absolutely am on board. I think he looks pretty solid as far as interpretation of how Venom should look on the big screen. And keep in mind, this is a trailer. They'll finish that off, and he'll look probably even better in the actual movie. So that part is interesting.
I'm excited for it. I don't care what you think.
I will see it. Don't get me wrong. I'll go see it, and I'm not going
to... I'll see it 3 months after it's in the theater.
Well, yeah.
I don't get to go to the movies.
You guys are killing me by not seeing Infinity War yet.
Hey, I'll get there. Oh. I'll get there. Just give it time.
Man.
Hey, speaking of movies, Glass.
Yeah.
I guess the first footage of the new M. Night Shyamalan movie looks like a super villain kind of team up. And supposed to be the sequel to Unbreakable and Split. I didn't even know Split was part of that same...
I haven't seen Split, but I guess towards the end of Split, they reveal that they're in the same universe, basically. Hmm.
Well, I hate that I don't read the articles before we get to the show, because I thought this was a documentary on Ron Glass.
Ron Glass?
Not.
No. Yeah, from Serenity.
That's wrong Glass.
Yeah. Wrong. No. This is Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, and James McAvoy teaming up in a sequel to what some people claim is still one of the best superhero movies that has been made.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Like I enjoyed the movie because I did not think it was a superhero movie until the very end, which, you know, I thought that was cool. That was an awesome reveal.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I don't know if I'd call it the best ever, but it's maybe...
Yeah. I got to say, though, Bruce Willis's performance in Unbreakable was just so lethargic. That's the perfect word I could do it. There was just no, I mean, he's just every single scene, he's just like, he's taking up space. That's about it.
Yeah. It was different. I'd have to rewatch it. It's been a long time since I've seen Unbreakable, and I never did see Split, but that looks pretty good.
Okay. Well, we'll link up the trailer in the show notes the link to the article that has the footage in it here.
We'll link up the link.
We're going to link the link. Yeah. Walk the walk, talk the talk, link the link.
Yeah, and I want to tell you guys, because I know I'm picking on you because you haven't seen Infinity War yet, and I need you guys to, because I need to chat with you guys about this movie because it's huge. Man. But I do want to let you know that don't worry, because you already know what's going to happen. It happened back in 1996 on the Super Nintendo. We already saw
music, Jason.
Infinity War.
Oh, so way back then, Bucky and Rocket were making sweet, sweet love.
You see that today?
What?
Yeah. So Chris, from All Things Good and Nerdy, I haven't heard about this, but apparently, without saying too much, but the internet is shipping Infinity War. Essentially, like Jason just said, Bucky, you know, who is the Winter Soldier, and Rocket the Raccoon, and they're calling it Bucket. Apparently, it's a thing online. Don't look it up because you're going to spoil the movie for yourself.
And Adam, shipping means relationshipping.
Yeah, in your terms.
Not in my terms. In the world's terms.
Shipping means what I get from Amazon before they put the junk in my trunk.
Before they put the junk in your trunk? Wait.
Yeah, it's
dude,
being shipped.
That is, you
said
that
shipping.
Is the perf-
yeah. What did I thought I just heard it like this. Shipping is what I get from Amazon before they put the junk in my trunk.
Yep, that's what I said, and I'm sticking to
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
I didn't mean relationshipping and anything else. I meant like, I got Amazon Prime. I'm going to order this. They're going to put the package in the trunk of my automobile.
Put a bucket in your trunk. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
They're going to go put their package. Never mind.
Guys, no.
Oh, man. So what this was, though, there was a game back in 96. Just a quick little interesting story called Marvel Superheroes. Yeah, Marvel Superheroes in War of the Gems, which was released, like I said, back in 1996. And essentially... it is a very vanilla take on the whole Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet style battle that happened. What they're saying, and I kind of remember this game, and oddly enough, seeing the graphic at the top of this article, the little animation where they've got Thanos there, you know, mouth is moving in Super Nintendo glory. And I remember playing this game, but like they say in the article, it's not that it's bad. And it's not that it's great. It's just very average. And, you know, it's one of those games that kind of went along. But funny that we had the Infinity War and War of the Gems back in 96.
Well, one of the things, though, that was very you know, tough for a lot of people to actually purchase this game is because it was absolutely worthless if you're just going to play with a controller. You had to shell out like $75 for the power glove so you could put the different,
put the different gems in there.
Oh, that would have been perfect. That would have been perfect. Yeah, I guess there's five stages total in this game. First four are unlocked and playable in any order, and then the fifth one is the final. It's a all-star lineup in the roster, so you can play as, you know, tons of people: Wolverine, Spidey, Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, you know, Hawkeye, anybody. There's tons of characters in it. But
well, one of the coolest things is they did a crossover promotion with Operation, but instead of him being the Operation guy, it was a Vision, and you had to actually get the gem out of his forehead without.
Oh, jeez. Without it buzzing.
Oh my, I thought you would have loved that, Dave.
No, I'm not commenting on anything because I'm worried that I'll say something by accident and spoil something for Infinity Wars. So
probably
I'm being very careful to not talk about the movie.
Well, that's why we all need to go to YouTube and watch Captain Shadow, because I mean, he is the best black man.
Oh, jeez. Here you are again.
That's Jason at Digital Super.
Yeah, yeah. So hey, check out the old Super Nintendo game.
It was uproar. Just settle down. They were talking about it.
It's all good. It's all good. I think it might be time for a little Gonna Geek. Classic style.
That's about that time. And so, as listeners, you know, we are proud members of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network, which you can find over at GunnaGeek.com, where they have a ton of geeky shows, tech shows, all kinds of different stuff. Everything from things like us here at Digital Soup to shows about specific television programs, different things like that. But this week we're going to talk about a show called In Defense Of, episode 46, The Snitch Had It Coming. Now, they've got a super long description, so bear with me on this, but you may pride yourself on your own personal Potterphilia, and you may be an aspiring athlete in a physically challenging, fast-paced field sport like soccer, sorry, football, field hockey, or rugby. But what about where those worlds merge? Enter Quidditch, initially popularized on university campuses in the UK and United States in the mid-2000s. It's grown dramatically in structure, engagement, and recognition over the past decade. That being said, this is long, isn't it?
I was going to say, before you continued, people really play Quidditch?
So it sounds like it, and you need to go listen to the most recent episode of In Defense Of to find out all about it. But they are saying the mention of the actual sport to any number of workplace or community muggles, and you may get a blank stare. If this isn't the perfect grounds for an IDO intervention, we don't know what is. We were fortunate enough to recently be joined on a Skype call from someone who not only has a great insight on the structure and logistics of Quidditch games, leagues, and seasons, but has a vested interest in seeing the sport's popularity continue to grow. Jack Leonard is the founder and director of the Quidditch Premier League, was kind enough to talk with him about the sport, the league, and the players' passion. So, I'm assuming there's no one flying around on brooms.
No.
I'm assuming it's more like lacrosse, in a way.
Can we start a fantasy league?
Wouldn't that be
a
sweet?
Quidditch fantasy league?
Quidditch Premier League fantasy league? We'll have to listen to it. So episode 46, go check this out of In Defense Of if you're interested in Quidditch from Harry Potter. Find it over at GunnaGeek.com with all the other great shows over there. So with that, it's time we move into the final phases.
The final frontier.
Of the weekly garnish.
Random Key City, guys, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's like Detroit Rock City, but kind of not quite.
But not
take
even
take me
close.
Down to the Random Key City where Adam can't play anything because we'll get in trouble.
Yeah, it's not recognizable.
Hit that 15-second skip button, guys. What's on the Weekly Garnish today? What do we got here?
What I threw in here in honor of the Avengers Infinity War, because as we know...
Oh, here we go.
This more won't Avengers spoil Infinity anything. Jimmy Fallon, and, you know, all the heroes from the movie, all the stars have been making their rounds. And recently on Jimmy Fallon, they did a fun spin on the Brady Bunch theme song, featuring a bunch of the characters from Infinity War and the Marvel Universe. You know, Tony Stark, Chris Hemsworth, Thor, I should say, all these characters. And they call it the Marvel Bunch. So it's just a quick video where they sing this little song made up that tells the story of the Avengers, essentially. And, you know, what they...
Well, it's, It's like the marriage of the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're all in the same universe, you know, of course, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, it was this is the first movie where they came together, and I think... I saw it once. Oh, isn't, you Guardians? Know, the one fam... No. This video here. The one family, quotation marks, is... the Avengers, you know, the traditional Avengers we knew prior to this movie. And then the other one was the Guardian of the Galaxy characters, was it not?
No. There's a mix of characters there.
Oh,
are,
was it a mix? Yeah. I thought it was separate, but maybe not.
Yeah, you've got Tony Stark, you've got Cap, Thor, Black Widow, Black Panther, Star-Lord. Who else is in there? Can't think of who else is. I'm looking for the full...
Falcon
and Loki and Doctor Strange.
Okay, so I was completely wrong. Go ahead, Dave.
No, it's just it's a fun little video. It doesn't spoil anything for the movie. It's just a little kind of teaser that happened as they were going out on their press tour here prior to the release of Infinity War. So something fun for the fans that have enjoyed Infinity War. And I will take this opportunity because as you've heard me tease them, Jason and Adam have not seen the movie yet. They're crazy if they think they're going to avoid spoilers for long, so they need to go watch it soon. But that being said, don't be a dick. Sorry for the language.
Wow.
Don't spoil it for these guys because it is amazing. If you've seen it...
Oh, great. Now it's going to be all over Twitter and stuff.
If you've seen it, you know it's great, and you know that it's best viewed without any spoilers. So let these guys enjoy it that way. Don't go sending tweets to us about it because I will just delete them if I see them. So...
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Right.
Oh, nice. Well, guys, I think that's the end of our show today. So I want to thank the listeners for sticking with us. You know, this is 72 episodes. It's hard to believe we've actually done this many already. But if you want to continue the conversations, hit us up on our social media. You can find all of our links over on digitalsuitpodcast.com as well as all of our different episodes. You can listen there, and we've got additional articles there on other cool stuff, things that we review. Mostly Dave reviews that. Anywhere where you find podcasts, you can find us. So like, hit subscribe, tell a friend about us. We'd love to interact with everybody. We definitely want to have more conversations with our listeners. We want to know your thoughts on stuff. So come check us out at digitalsuitpodcast.com. And, of course, you can see all of our Gunna Geek shows over at gunnageek.com. So... from all of us at the Digital Suit Podcast, to all of you out there, have a wonderful week, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya. Take care, guys.
Later, Porch Pirates.
Yeah, thanks for the clap.